magical place we could go. So close your eyes and make a wish for the skies with the angriest, flappiest birds, and the seas with ridiculous fish. The Dutch Arcade Show is here again. It's Friday night and I'm with my friends Eli, Jerry, and Mike most of the time. Mike, come on, let's go to the Dutch Arcade Show.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to the Touch Arcade Show. I am your host, Jared. Eli is traveling right now. He's currently in the air, heading back from a visit to Valve, which we'll talk about shortly. But sitting in for him is none other than Carter Dotson, our special guest today. Hello, Carter.
Hey, Jared. Thanks for having me on again.
We always like having you on the old podcast here. If this is the first time you have listened to the Touch Arcade Show, thank you so much for downloading or streaming this episode. In case you are unaware, we are TouchArcade.com. We are the number one site for mobile gaming news, and that includes iOS, Android, and now Switch. And we've been getting quite a good number of Switch news to put out there on almost a daily basis. So try to be the number one source for all of your mobile gaming needs. And our website, as well as this podcast, is supported primarily through Patreon. So if you enjoy what we do on the podcast or on the site, then please visit us at patreon.com/touch arcade. You can contribute as little as a dollar a month, which goes to keep our site going, keep our podcast going. And you also get a few bonuses by becoming a Patreon, one of which is a video version of this podcast where you can see us playing the games in real time. And you see our bright, shining faces. Unfortunately, Eli is the one that has the setup for the video stuff, so I'll apologize right now and say no video version this week, guys. But normally it's a nice, fun way to enjoy our podcast. If you are not into the Patreon thing, another great way to support us is by doing your Amazon shopping through our referral link. And you can find that at toucharcade.com/Amazon. Go ahead and click that link. It'll send you through to Amazon. Do the normal shopping you normally do anyway, and then we get a tiny little slice of whatever you buy. And over the course of time, it kind of adds up and ends up being a nice little chunk. So we'd appreciate any of that stuff. And of course, you can find us on our social media accounts, twitter.com/touch arcade. And we have a Discord at discord.gg/touch arcade. You can find us on Twitch, streaming games at Twitch. .com is it twitch.com?
I think if you do twitch.com, it'll be fine.
Okay, twitch.com/touch arcade. Pretty much type in any website that comes to your mind and do slash touch arcade, and we might be there.
Snapchat? Are we on Snapchat yet?
No, we probably should be, though. You know, there was a year, several years back, when Vine was a big thing, and we did one of our conventions. I think it was GDC or maybe E3, and we did Vine captures of like new games and stuff and things that we saw on the show floor, and it turned out to actually be like kind of popular. So I don't know, Vine's maybe making a comeback.
Me too.
Maybe we'll get back someday to that. Yeah, but yeah, no, Snapchat, I'm too old for Snapchat. I just don't get it. I've been on Snapchat for a couple of years and I never use it. People send me snaps and I look at them and I don't know what's happening. I don't know how to reply or talk to people on it. It's all foreign to me. So
I try to consider myself an open-minded person. You know, I'm open to new technologies. I'm drawing the line of Snapchat, though. I have never even installed Snapchat. You know, I'm leaving that one for the teens.
Yeah, I don't get it. I guess I can see the appeal. But then now Instagram has like their story thing, which I guess is like a Snapchat-like sort of thing. And I used to enjoy Instagram until they messed with the timeline and started showing things out of order. But I don't know. I guess that's sort of taking over Snapchat, people doing Instagram stories and stuff. I get notices about what those are, or, you know, that I have stories to see and I don't know what they are. I don't know. I don't know. I try to stay away from all this stuff. I guess I sound like an old curmudgeon. Anyway, this is not a show about social media apps. Actually, yeah. It's about iPhone, iPad, Android, Switch gaming, mobile gaming in general. So let's go ahead and go through some of the bigger stories from this week. Some of these will be some quick hitters. Rome Total War, the classic strategy game from PC that made its way to iPad like a year or two ago now, People have been wanting an iPhone version for a long time, which is tricky because it's a very menu and UI heavy game that obviously is designed for desktop screens and then translates pretty well to a big iPad screen, but is a lot trickier to get right on the iPhone. So they've been taking their time just reworking the whole thing to get it work on iPhones. And they were hoping it would be out sooner this year, and it is not yet. It's actually pushed back to summer. But they did release a new video of how it's looking on the iPhone, and it looks pretty cool. They really did some work to make this thing feel right on a smaller screen like an iPhone. So if you're a Rome Total War fan and you don't have an iPad or something, or you just want it on your phone, that should be coming sometime this summer. And another story this week was Battleheart 2 was announced. I had to look this up. It was announced in September of 2016, which I was like, wow, really? That's that long ago? But
yeah.
Mika Mobile, they take their time with their games. It's just a husband-wife team. So, you know, and they're the kind that do not just push stuff out and hope to update it later. They really try to get a game totally finished and polished up good before they actually release it. So Battleheart 2 is slowly making progress. But in January, they debuted this new thing on their blog called a Hero Spotlight, where they're going to do a little, you know, a spotlight on each hero in the game. There's supposed to be 12 total when the game ships. And so we posted about that initial one. And then every week since then, like clockwork, they've been putting out a new one for each of the new heroes. And so we've got 7 of them total so far, although I guess by the time this goes up, there will be an 8th. So anyway, if you type Battleheart 2 into the search bar on Touch Arcade, you'll come up with the story. And all we've really done is kind of just round up links to all the different hero spotlights on their blog. So if you're curious to see what the heroes are going to be like in Battleheart 2, and each one has their own little video clip of them doing like their special moves and stuff like that, so you can kind of get an idea of what the game will look like, be sure to check those out. And then they keep saying they're hoping for a spring release, I believe. And so I don't know. If they hit that, that will be very nice. That should be in the next few months. So that'll be cool. Battleheart 2, the original, and its follow-up Legacy, two of the best games on mobile. So very excited about that. So there's a report this week that Gameloft had shut down its Madrid studio and laid off about 40 people. I don't know. I guess it's kind of not super surprising. This sort of thing Gameloft has done before, and they're the type that has like a bunch of little satellite studios all over the world. Typically each one works on like a certain franchise, like, you know, Modern Combat or whatever. So I don't know. It's a shame to see a studio closing, and it's a shame to see people losing their jobs. But that's kind of business. You know, that's the world of business, I guess. If you can't be making money having all these studios open, you got to do something about it. And so that's a bummer. But yeah. So Gameloft has closed the studio.
Yeah, I really hope, especially for Madrid. I'm not super up on the Spanish game development scene, but I hope there's a bunch of other studios there, because the thing with like that really sucked about like me losing my job at PvP Live was that there wasn't a whole lot of other companies out in the Dallas area, in particular in mobile gaming, that would have needed someone with my particular skills, and so, you know, I basically had to just get out of town and get out of my lease as soon as possible. Whereas it's a completely different situation, say if you are in an area where there is a big, you know, game development hub, you know, San Francisco being the obvious example, Los Angeles as well, to where people that lose their jobs can easily find new ones, you know, without relocating. And that's the thing that especially now when I hear about layoffs and shutdowns, it's like, you know, how easy is it going to be for these people to find new jobs? You know, are they going to have to upend their lives? And, you know, it's the human cost that you maybe don't necessarily think about when you hear about the, you know, these studios shutting down or whatever.
Yeah. And it's always driven me nuts that San Francisco is this, you know, tech hub where all the jobs are and stuff like that. When we live in a world where we can do so much stuff online. And, you know, it's not even like you have to go into an office every day like, you know, you used to. So I feel like we should make more of an effort to kind of spread the wings of the game industry into more areas, because it's impossible to live in San Francisco on any sort of normal wage. You have to be like crazy rich or go through some crazy, you know, commuting stuff to live somewhere where you can afford and then drive into the Bay Area every day. And it's like, I know people that do stuff like that, and it's just, it takes a toll. And so, I don't know. It's just annoying to me that with all the technology and stuff that we have nowadays, that you can't just kind of have more cities be more, you know, tech or game centric hubs. But I don't know, maybe that, I think it'll have to slowly grow. I mean, there are other cities in the U.S. at least that are kind of like gaming places. St. Louis has its own little scene, in Chicago, and even North Carolina has a couple big guys in it, and its own little game dev scene. Austin's pretty decent for that. So I don't know. We'll see, but it's still kind of like, you know, if you want to get a job in tech or gaming, San Francisco is kind of your first spot, and that just sucks. So anyway, we wish the game left people the best. So this week, a weird thing happened that I was not expecting. 11-Bit Studios re-released their Anomaly 2 Tower Offense game, which had launched, I want to say, in 2013 or maybe even 2012. And for those of you who have been mobile gaming for that long, you might remember the original Anomaly was kind of a big hit in terms of back then, you know, tower defense games with like Field Runners and stuff. It was like the most popular thing in the world. And then Anomaly came along and sort of introduced the world to tower offense, which is instead of setting up towers and defeating, you know, creeps moving along through the level, you are the creeps. And you're trying to destroy the towers and get through, you know, it's kind of flipping the script on the whole thing. And so that was really fresh and cool back in the day. And then Anomaly 2 came a couple years later, and I believe it launched on PC first. And then when it came to iOS, it came mostly intact with, like, really way better visuals and all sorts of fancy stuff going on that they had built for PC. And a lot of translated over to mobile pretty well. Unfortunately, they got stuck in it was originally published by Chillingo, and that deal had expired. And so they had to do the weird, messy dance of transferring the game to their own personal account or whatever in the App Store. And that it's gotten better, but there still can be some issues with doing stuff like that. And so they had to relaunch it. And if you owned it before, apparently it still works. But this newer version you would have to buy if you wanted the newer one that's going to keep getting updates and stuff like that. Originally, it relaunched at $14.99, which we thought was a little crazy because the original game cost like $3 or $5 bucks or something like that. And so it was kind of like, hey, okay, I understand I might need to rebuy this older game and I'm down to do that. But like, damn, $15. And so apparently that was an accident. They didn't mean to charge $15. It was supposed to be $3.99. That's the normal price, which seems much more in line with what you might expect for an older game like this. So if you own the original, it should still be working for you, even on iOS 11 and stuff. But if you'd rather just upgrade to this new re-release for whatever reason, you know, going forward with updates and things like that, it'll cost you $4. And for how darn good this game is, I feel like that's a bargain. So check out Anomaly 2. And if this is the first time you've come across this game, check it out for sure. Because it's one of the best tower defense slash offense games out there. And they did say on their forums they're going to bring the other ones back too under their own publishing name. So the original Anomaly and then Anomaly Korea or Warzone Korea or whatever that spinoff one was, those should be coming back too at some point. So keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, and hopefully figure out how to make it so that it just updates for previous owners as opposed to having to buy a new game. Because I could have sworn that you could transfer a game from one account to another and people would still have the rights to the original game.
Yeah.
But also, it's the App Store. Weird things can and will happen.
Yeah. I'm almost positive you can do that, or in so much as that Apple allows that to happen, or it has a way for you to do that. My guess is that there's some sort of conflict between 11-Bit and Chillingo, where they maybe Chillingo didn't give the, you know, green light to them having, you know, whatever that the certain app ID or something like that for the old game. Or it's just that 11-Bit wasn't aware of the process and thought they had to re-release it, even though that's not so much the case anymore. But I don't know. Whatever the case, at the end of the day, even if you have to rebuy it for $4 or whatever, I'm just happy to see this game get re-released and continue to live on just because it's so good. But yeah, you know, it should be a lot easier to do stuff like that, because things like that happen all the time. Publishing deals expire, or, you know, people, I remember even just changing your publishing name on the App Store is like a huge pain. And so I don't know. That's something that Apple has needed to improve on for years and years and years. And I guess they make headway here and there, but it's still kind of a messy situation. So something else this week was DC Unchained, which is like a DC-ified version of Marvel Future Fight, which is like a free-to-play brawler featuring all the superheroes from Marvel. DC Unchained is DC's version of that. So it's kind of three-on-three team building and collecting and upgrading free-to-play game. But Marvel Future Fight's been a huge hit for years, and people seem to love it. And so having a DC version seems like a good idea. And so they had actually announced this last year, and they've been – it was soft launch in like one territory for a while, and now it's getting closer to being done. And so they've soft launched it in a couple more territories and opened up a pre-registration for it. So if you want to get in on that, you can get some goodies when the game actually launches. And there's a couple new trailers released too. So if you have any interest in DC Unchained, or just like DC and like action games or whatever, check out DC Unchained and maybe hit up the pre-registration if you want to get in on some free-to-play goodies, which is always fun.
Hey, it means less money I have to pay for stuff.
Yeah. I try to pay nothing as much as I can. But freebies are always good. This is kind of a cool story. Jurassic World Alive is a new Jurassic Park game that is basically Pokemon Go, but you go around finding dinosaurs. And it looks kind of cool. They're using the AR kit stuff, just like Pokemon Go. And I don't know, roam around your neighborhood and find dinosaurs instead of Pokemon. I guess that's cool if you're into that.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how well this one does. In part because Pokemon Go is going to be hard for anyone to catch, because it was a phenomenon, and it's monetized really well since then. But if you pay attention to the community, there's still things in Pokemon Go that they want. And that they haven't gotten yet. And Well, what if this game comes along and, you know, delivers on things like trading and maybe a better online battle system that, you know, winds up leading to a better experience. But if they don't necessarily evolve on what Pokemon Go already has, then it's kind of the question of, well, why would you play this?
Yeah. And I honestly, it's been a couple years now, over 2 years, I think, since Pokemon Go launched. So I've sort of been waiting for someone to come along and kind of eat their lunch for them, because, you know, when it initially launched, it was in such a rough state, had all these problems, and, you know, they've been a little slow to kind of fix and add things to the game. But people, it's got a pretty loyal fan base that continues to play it, even with issues. So I don't know if that just speaks, you know, to the Pokemon brand being so strong, or the fact that this was kind of the first breakout hit AR game like this that, you know, people started here and they're going to stay there even if other better options come along, or what. But yeah, I'm sort of surprised that nobody's been like, you know, there's definitely been Pokemon Go clones that come out, but I feel like none of them have gained any steam because they're not Pokemon. And so Jurassic World is definitely a strong brand, but I don't know. It's like, collecting dinosaurs can be cool, and a lot of people are in Jurassic Park, but is that quite the same as collecting Pokemon, which is kind of like the basis of that entire series? So it's just like the whole nature of the game suits Pokemon so well that I feel like it's kind of hard for other brands to come in and make their mark trying to do the same thing. But I don't know. I like dinosaurs. This might be cool. Who knows? There's a Ghostbusters one in the works too, which I feel like kind of lends itself well to this style of game. If you can run around and catch, you know, ghosts in your trap with your phone, that's pretty cool. But we haven't heard a whole lot of news about that one either. So Jurassic World Alive should be launching around the time of the new Jurassic Park movie, which comes out in June 22nd, I think. And so if you're interested in that, I'm sure we'll have a heads up for when it's actually out. But something to keep on your radar. Super Mario Run is currently on sale for half off at $4.99 for the full game unlock. And that is to celebrate Mario Day, which is a super made up thing that I think is actually kind of cool. March 10th, MAR10 looks like Mario. And so somewhere somebody got the bright idea to call that Mario Day. And that's what it is. March 10th is now Mario Day. So in celebration of that, for 2 weeks starting on March 10th, Super Mario Run will be half off. So if you have yet to pick that one up, or you maybe were feeling like $10 was too much and $5 is a little easier to swallow, then you'll have 2 weeks to do that. And it's, of course, free to try. If you've never played it before, you can check it out. Although I've often said that I don't think the free portion of the game does it justice. It kind of gives you a good idea of how it will play, but I feel like the later levels are really where the game starts to shine, when you've got the really good level designs, and especially when you go back and try and collect all the coins and stuff like that. I thought it was funny that Mario Run, you know, there was such a mixed reaction when it initially came out in late 2016. And, you know, it was kind of cool. I thought it was neat. I put it down and didn't play it for a while. And then I picked it up one day and got really into it and kind of just got everything you can do in the game and just kind of fell in love with it. And I remember when the 1 year anniversary came up, I was like, man, looking back, like, this is a really good game. And it seemed like there was, I saw a lot of comments around that time that were saying the same thing. Like, you know, I feel like the hype or whatever of a Mario game coming to mobile really overshadowed people looking at the game for what it actually was and appreciating it for what it was. And so, you know, a year removed from that, there was a lot of people that were like, you know, this game's fun. It's really good. It's really well made. It's very Mario-like. And I don't know. It's cool. I like it. And so I agree with that. I like it too. So,
how dare you like a game? How dare you like that game? Boo on you for liking something.
This was a happy thing that happened this week. The game, the Arcade Racer Horizon Chase, got a new update. Adds in an entirely new Hawaii Cup and with new tracks, and then it has new cars, and it got iPhone 10 support, and basically just a nice modernized update for one of the best games on the App Store, in my opinion. Horizon Chase launched, 2015, maybe 2016. It's been a couple of years. And it's really kind of modeled after the arcade classic OutRun, but it's really kind of like, you know, if video game design sensibilities never advanced with technology, but the technology did advance and someone was like, I want to make an OutRun, but using nowadays technology. That's sort of what Horizon Chase feels like to me, because it's got like a sort of old school look, but it's really much, very much like a modern racing game and modern visuals and lots of graphical effects that you couldn't have done back in the day. So it's not like a straight pixel 80s arcade game, you know, remake. It's really just sort of like what would happen if they wanted to make OutRun, but today. And it's just a really good racing game. It's really fun. It looks great. The new Hawaii tracks look really cool. It's just a nice, bright, colorful, happy game that has never left my device. And I've often looked at it and looked at its no iPhone 10 support and been like, Horizon Chase, what do I do with you? And luckily, I hung on to it long enough that this update came out and made me very happy. So,
Horizon avoided the wrath of the notch.
I went through a mass exodus of games based on what supports the iPhone 10 and what doesn't. So it's been kind of crazy because I went from having like 700 games on my phone to like, I think like 200 or something like that. And a lot of tough decisions had to be made going through all those. But, you know, I fired up my App Shopper account, and all the ones I deleted that didn't have iPhone 10 support, I added to my wish list. And so I'll get a notification if they ever do get updates, and then they can be invited back onto my phone. But I don't know. I'm at the point where there's enough games out there that I already don't have time to play. And I really like when they support the full screen of the iPhone 10. So I'm just going to focus on the ones that do for now and maybe go back to those older ones someday if I ever feel the need or whatever. But yeah. Happy when games get iPhone 10 support.
Yeah, I'd like to see this one on the Switch, actually.
I would be really surprised if it does not come to the Switch, because it seems just perfectly suited for it. And throw in like a split-screen local multiplayer mode, yes, or something like that. And yeah, now we'd be talking. The fact that they are you know, putting out an update for the mobile version and actively adding new content and stuff like that makes me think there's probably a Switch version in there somewhere too. So I don't know. It's a good thing that there's that company still around and doing things with that game. But yeah, I'd be real surprised if we didn't see a Switch version. And speaking of the Switch, Nintendo did a Direct this week, which is kind of like their online video podcast news announcement sort of thing. And, one of the things that come out from that is that Undertale is coming to the Switch, and that also means that Game Maker Studio will have Switch compatibility going forward, which is a big deal because a ton of games are made in Game Maker. And so that means that if Switch supports Game Maker, potential for just hundreds of games to come to the Switch is now open.
Oh, yeah. So
I think that's a good thing.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, granted, like, so having done the Switch Arcade roundups, which y'all should read because they take a lot of time to do. like, the thing is, like, wow, there's, like, at least a dozen games getting released on a weekly basis at this point. And that's crazy to think that one of the, like, major game-making tools that has been behind some blockbuster games in the past few years hasn't had Switch compatibility, and it will starting this summer. Like, well, the flood of games coming to the Switch is just going to get even crazier in the near future.
Yeah, and it's been hard to keep up with for me. I laugh thinking about how, you know, when the Switch was first announced and just released and stuff like that, and everyone was complaining there wasn't enough games. And then a year in, and it's like my wish list is over 150 games. The amount of games I have actually bought is, I don't know, I think 20 or something like that. And amount of those that I have yet to even play is probably like 10. So, you know, I'm like buried in games that I need to play on the Switch, and more just keep coming than I want. And so I don't know if this is good news or bad news. But I'll lean towards the side of good news, because more games is always good, and you can always get around to them eventually. But I've never played Undertale. I remember everyone just raving about it when it came out on desktop or whatever. And so that's another cool thing about both mobile and Switch getting a lot of ports of indie games, is that it gives me a chance to actually try them, because I'd probably never play them on my computer. So I'm curious to check out Undertale too.
Yeah. I think I'm in the same boat here. I kind of missed Undertale when it launched, and I'm sure I'll be checking it out on the Switch, because I've heard a lot of good things. And so that game apparently just has this, like, massive fan base of Tumblr kids and whatnot.
Yes, it does. That's a kind of crazy thing about it, but I don't know, probably for good reason, because apparently it's a good game. So I'm not mad at people being fans of things, unlike most people on the internet.
How dare people like things? I made this abundantly clear, Jared.
I know. It's like, how dare you? How dare you like something? Oh, okay. So moving along, this was probably the bombshell of the week. If that was an award, which it should be, and maybe I'll start making it be a thing right now.
Jared's bombshell of the week.
Oh, can you do the voiceover for it? That was perfect.
Yeah, I'll throw some reverb on it, you know.
The more monster truck announcer you can make it, the better. So Fortnite is coming to iOS and Android, and Epic announced this kind of out of nowhere. I had heard nothing about this. Obviously, PUBG is, you know, making its way to mobile in a couple different ways, in a couple different official capacities. But right now there's nothing released in the West. It's all out in the Asian territories. And so Fortnite has also been gaining steam on desktop and consoles. PUBG has always kind of been the major player in the whole battle royale scene. But Fortnite has been making headway, both by being free, I think, is a big major part of that, and also by having a lot of cool, like, crafting and building mechanics thrown in to kind of, like, spice up the whole Battle Royale formula. So Epic announced Fortnite is coming to mobile. It's the same game as on desktop and console. There's apparently no concessions, I guess, except with controls, and we'll have to see if the graphics, you know, come through. But based on their trailer, it looks pretty much like it looks like everywhere else.
The crazy thing is, like, and they actually clarified that today, was that you could play with every other version of the game except for the Xbox. That's just not because of the technical reason. That's because, I think, of Microsoft politics. But apparently the way that it's going to work is, like, if you're on mobile, you can queue up randomly, you're just going to play against mobile people. But if you join a friend that is on another version of the game, you'll basically play on the, like, top cert, like it'll if you're with console people, you'll go on console. If you're on, if a PC player is there, then you'll play on the PC server. So you'll probably be at a, you know, a disadvantage, but still it allows everyone to play the same game. And that's the thing that's really fascinating about all this is that, you know, PUBG on mobile, you know, it's an adaptation of PUBG, but it's not the exact same. What Epic is doing here is they're putting the exact same Fortnite game that you play on other platforms. They're just, they said, okay, let's just do it for mobile.
Yeah. Well, I think it's, I think what they're doing with the whole matchmaking stuff is really interesting. And it's just a really neat solution to, you know, the fact that people on mobile will be at a disadvantage because you don't have the controls of other platforms. So they're more or less making it opt in for mobile people. Hey, you're playing on mobile right now. If you want to jump in and play with the big boys on console and PC, you're free to do that. And knowing that you'll be probably at a disadvantage, or maybe you just own on touchscreen and you're going to be awesome. But whatever, you have the choice to. But what they're preventing is that, you know, Joe Noscope with his, you know, mouse and keyboard setup can't jump into a mobile game and just destroy everyone that's playing on touchscreen or whatever. So I think that's a really smart way of doing it. So, you know, going in, and my experience with all my friends that, you know, get heavy into playing online multiplayer games and stuff like that. Yeah, it's fun to win. And sometimes you get in a mood where it's like, let's crush it. Let's do this, whatever. But a lot more often than not, you're just like, win or lose, I'm just playing and having fun and with my friends. And so you're going to be able to do that with way more, you know, possibilities with all the mobile devices that are going to get thrown in the mix. And if you kind of just don't care, if you're at a disadvantage with touchscreen or whatever, you can still play the same game with your friends on other platforms all at the same time and stuff like that. And that's really, really cool. And beyond that, just the progression of your character and your profile and stuff like that, being able to carry over between platforms, that's awesome, because maybe you just have your phone on, you got time to kill, and you can play some Fortnite for a while and just play with other mobile players. Just to build up your progression or whatever. I mean, that's really cool too. So I definitely think you've been banging this drum for years now, Carter, but I definitely think this whole convergence thing is going to start, you know, catching on, especially when bigger titles and bigger companies are getting in the mix, like Epic is with Fortnite.
Yeah. I mean, this is the convergence. I mean, this is the hottest game in the world right now.
Yeah.
Is going to be on mobile in a no apologies version.
Yeah.
You know, not okay, here's our special separate mobile versions and there's two different releases for some reason. Here's Fortnite. Well, okay, the only concession they're making is I don't think they're putting the Save the World PvE mode in there, but also nobody plays that. And well, nobody plays it except for the people that want to grind the premium currency for Battle Royale.
Okay. So not a major loss is what you're saying.
No, it's not really. I mean, I'm sure it's a fine game. It's just clearly
not popular.
It's just not that popular.
Well, I am a Battle Royale noob. I don't play this. I don't play PUBG. I don't play Rules of Survival. I don't play any of these games. And I mean, I knew what Fortnite was. See people talking about it all the time and stuff. And it does look very cool. But I just never jumped on my console or anything to try it out. And so now that it's coming to mobile, I feel like, well, I'll try it now. So we'll see how that works out. But when did they say this was coming? Is it this year, right? This summer, maybe?
Yeah. So they are doing a beta test for the iOS version starting on Monday. That's when they first sign up, and they'll start sending out invites after that. And then they said that it might take a couple months to test and to do everything, but the iOS version should be available pretty soon. And then they're going to do, I think, Android after that. And by the way, they did confirm that controller support will be in the game.
Oh, cool. So maybe it won't be as much of a disadvantage as you might have thought, having, you know, a touchscreen device. But Donald Mustard did say a couple things on Twitter about he was really impressed with kind of the things they'd done to make the touchscreen controls work well, and it's stuff that hasn't been done in other games yet, and he kind of feels like he's cracked that problem. And I've heard that before, But I don't know. I'm really interested to see what they do with the mobile controls, or how they make concessions to make it work well on touchscreen. But it is nice to know that you'll be able to use controllers at some point, too, with the mobile version. So Fortnite, if you want to sign up for the beta test, which is limited, there would be picking people and then sending out beta test invites. And then those invites will actually include codes that they can share with other people to get them in on the beta. So it's going to be one of those things that sort of is going to spread kind of organically, I think. But you can sign up on their site starting Monday. So if you want to head to TouchArcade, just type in Fortnite. You should get the story about it with the link to their website and stuff like that. Sign up for the beta. I'm hoping that we can get in on that too, since we've always had a good relationship with Epic and Chair and stuff doing Infinity Blade things. So hopefully they'll get us in on this action and we can check it out soon.
Yeah, yeah, crossing my fingers. You know what was kind of funny was I think it was about a week or so ago, one of the main PR guys for Epic, Nick Chester, actually used to be over at Harmonix. He like tweeted something out, was like, there should be a way to play Fortnite on the go. I was responding to someone randomly, and you know, and I posted a joke tweet that was like, broke Fortnite on Switch, woke Fortnite on mobile. And I'm thinking like, he's definitely teasing Fortnite for the Switch. No, apparently he was teasing Fortnite for mobile this whole time, which is,
you are an oracle, my friend. That is that's awesome, though. That I wonder how hard of a secret that was for him to keep.
he was letting it slip somewhere.
Yeah, that's funny.
Though, you know, what's interesting about this is that if Fortnite can run on mobile, it can run on the Switch.
Oh, yeah.
Fortnite's coming to the Switch, and I'm guessing it's going to be, no, it's going to happen sometime for not too long.
Yeah. You know, we had this similar conversation at the Hi-Rez Expo in January when we were talking about Paladins and Smite coming to the Switch. And we were talking to one of the people on the development team, and it's basically like, oh, I love my Switch. He's like, oh, God, I adore the Switch. I play it all the time, blah, blah, blah. So we're like, okay, well, it makes sense then. Put your games on the Switch. And he did not want to say yes, but you could tell behind, you know, the look in his eyes was like, yes, we're going to do that. We just can't say anything yet. And so I feel like having these big kind of multiplayer-focused games on the Switch would just be awesome. So
yeah, I'm really looking forward to Arena of Valor in particular on the Switch. That's going to be
Yeah, I know. When is that coming out? Jeez. And Bombshell Junior of the Week. That's going to be another award I hand out.
Bombshell Junior of the Week.
The second Bombshell of the Week. Another big company announcing another big mobile game. Valve has announced Artifact, which is a new card battling game, similar to something like Hearthstone, but very Valved up. They describe it as inspired by Dota 2. And so it's actually a lane-based card battler, I guess, where there's three different lanes, which kind of is like almost like you're playing three different games at once. And then, of course, it'll have all of the Dota 2, you know, lore and characters and all that good stuff. That is actually where Eli went this week. He went to Valve's offices in Seattle and got to see the game firsthand. And we don't have anything up on the site about it yet because he is in the air. But I'm assuming that when he lands, he'll be able to get all that stuff out. If it's not up by the time that you are listening to this podcast, it'll be up over the weekend. So should have plenty of information on Valve's new mobile game called Artifact, which looks very cool and is entering a very tough genre on mobile with the card battlers. So we'll be interesting to see how that goes out.
Yeah, and it's sounding like it's apparently a really well made game, but B, that it's going to be a lot more like complicated, or you know, more deep and involved than something like a Hearthstone is.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me that they want to do something a little more hardcore like that. But I also feel like that's the strength of Hearthstone, is that it's penetrated such a vast, you know, part of the market because it's more approachable than something even like Magic. So I don't know. It might just find a very niche hardcore audience that is willing to learn, you know, a lot of crazy rules and stuff. Or it might just, you know, be able to trade on the popularity of Valve and their games and become a hit that way. I don't really know, but interesting to see what will happen from this. So look out for more stuff on Artifact very soon. Final story of the week here. I just wanted to reiterate that we're going to be at GDC, not next week, but the week after. And we've set up a thing. If you're a developer and you want to meet with us, you can book an appointment. I think a lot of it has filled up already. But if not, you can reach out to us over Twitter, or if you want to email tips at Touch Arcade or podcast at Touch Arcade. Reach out to us, because we do the schedule thing and we set time slots and we do all this stuff, but nothing ever goes totally according to plan. And we've sacrificed, you know, going to lunch and stuff like that to be able to squeeze in some extra meetings. And, you know, generally meetings don't always take the full 30 minutes either. So, you know, if we have some downtime, we're able to squeeze people in. So if you see that it's all the slots you want or whatever are filled up, reach out to us somehow anyway, and we'll try to work something out. In general, we'll probably be able to meet with you at some point. And if you don't get a proper sit down meeting with us, you can definitely come to our little party that we're going to be doing. We do it every year at the Bin 55 in the Marriott Hotel lobby, which is a cool little restaurant bar area. And normally we just do it guerrilla style, say, hey, show up at this time and hang out with us and trade stickers and whatnot. This year we're actually having a sponsor. Jam City is sponsoring our party. And so there will be drink tickets and things like that. It'll be a little more structured. But anyone is welcome. You don't have to be a developer. You don't have to even be attending GDC. If you're just in the area, our party will be that Wednesday, which is, what is that? The 21st, I believe. So March 21st, Bin 55 Marriott, 7 p.m. is when it'll start. And then I think they usually kick us out around 11 or 12. But come by, even if you just want to say hi or do whatever. And if you're not able to get an appointment with us, I mean, you can always quick pitch a game to us at the party. That's a thing that definitely happens a lot. So either way, we'd love to see you at GDC. And if you're not going to be there in person, we'll be posting loads of stuff like we do every GDC all week long. So look out for tons of videos and all the upcoming stuff that we're going to see at the conference in 2 weeks. So with that out of the way, Mr. Dotson, do you have a chance to play any of the new games this week?
I did get to play a bunch of read-only memories type M, which you can obviously read my review on the site, but I'm curious if you got to play any of that.
I did not. It looked really interesting to me, though, and it's kind of interesting that it's a port of a game. It's like a mobilized port, right? Like they cut a lot of stuff out to get it to be more mobile-y, or...
I think the only real thing that they cut out was the voice acting.
Oh, okay.
I think that I think the way that the game kind of evolved was it was initially released as just read-only memories. Mm-hmm. Then they did an enhanced version, which was 2064 read-only memories, which was, I think, updated on PC, and then the console versions. And then the Switch version that's coming out next month is 2064, and it'll have all the voice acting. But the mobile version, which is just read-only memories type M, it's the same game. It's just, yeah, you just don't get the voice acting.
And so I'm guessing that's probably to save space or something like that.
Yeah. I'm guessing that it would just be it would inflate the download size to massive proportions.
Well, that's probably I can live with that. I generally don't play a lot of mobile games with the sound on anyway. But games like that, I feel like you probably should listen in. But yeah, if they have to cut something, I'd rather, you know, than have like 8 gigs of extra download or something like that. I'd rather just not have voice acting. So that's cool, but you enjoyed the game, huh?
Yeah, it's interesting because it's very inspired by the Sega CD game Snatcher. That's a massive influence on the game. So it has very much this kind of like early to mid 90s feel to it, The pacing can be a little slow, but there were a few bugs in the game at launch that have been starting to be addressed. But one of the things I really like about it is that your decisions in the game actually matter. I mean, there's 6 total endings that depend based on whether you completed certain things or how you treat the the main robot character Turing mm-hmm. during the game that will alter how, you know, how the game ends. But also, but there's even little things of how if you say the wrong thing in a conversation, that might force you to solve this other puzzle, where mm-hmm. otherwise if you said the right thing, will pay you advance because you did this in the right way. And mm-hmm. you can make some characters mad and all that. And it's really a nice feeling because I like kind of the modern adventure game style of it being forgiving, you know, not being fail states.
Mm-hmm.
But I also like that, you know, this is a game where you have to be careful and you have to, you know, make sure that you're doing, you know, you're doing things right. And
you can screw some stuff up.
Yeah. You can like screw that. Some stuff up.
Yeah, that's good. I feel like in general, we've lost a lot of that in gaming over the years, which is part of the evolution. But it's also you kind of miss being like, oh, my God, I just spent 3 hours doing all the wrong stuff and I'm screwed now or whatever. I mean, that's a unique feeling that not a lot of people get nowadays. So that's a cool thing. And then what's the deal with this? It's free to download. Is there like a premium unlock thing or something?
Yes. Yeah, it's free to download for like I think the prologue and the first chapter. Oh, and cool. Then after that, it's $5.99 to unlock the whole game.
Oh, sweet.
I think that if you have a Switch and you're willing to wait, I would probably pick up the Switch version for the voice acting. And also, mm-hmm. I wasn't a huge fan of some of the touch interface stuff. Like, even playing on the iPad, it takes up, like, such a small amount of the screen that
it's... Oh, really?
Like, it's not the greatest experience. Like, it's not a massive hindrance, but I could see myself picking this one up on the Switch because I think it'd be better to play with actual physical controls. Or if you have a PC, you can probably pick it up there or even wait for like a Steam sale or something like that. I'm sure you can get it at a discount. But if you want to play it now, you want to play it as cheaply as possible right now, I mean, the mobile version's fine.
Yeah. And I guess even if you want to get it on Switch, you can download the free part and just check it out now and make sure it's something you like too, because I doubt the Switch version will be free with an unlock. There's not a whole lot of games like that on the Switch. So try it out. It's like when you go to Best Buy to look at stuff and then you go home and order them on Amazon.
Yeah. Or even better, order it on Amazon from your phone from the Best Buy.
Yes, that is the way to do it. Cool. So Read Only Memories Type M, that's out now and free to try. So give it a look. I didn't play a ton this week, but I did mess around with the new Sims Mobile. And I don't think I like it. It's... I don't know. I don't know what to put my finger on about not liking it. I feel like I should like everything about it, but it's just, I guess it feels like there's not a whole lot of meaning behind your actions. And it kind of just feels like a, fulfill the checklists of free to play things that you would do in any other free to play game rather than like a real true Sims game. But I will add that, out of all the Sims games that have been released over the years, this one feels the most Sims-like, just in terms of like presentation and stuff. But I don't know. There's a lot of things that I feel like, it just feels like you're going through the motions of just clicking the right things and doing the right things to make the next bar, fill up or whatever, and then unlock the next item and then, doing all that stuff, which is fine. But I feel like there's a ton of free-to-play games out there that offer similar stuff. And so unless you're just super into the Sims aesthetic and the Sims style and you're just a huge Sims fan, that I don't know if there's any reason to get involved in yet another one here. But that said, if you don't have a crazy free-to-play collect-a-thon sort of game going and you like the Sims, then it's worth checking out. It seems like it's very well made, and I'm sure it'll do well, like the other free-to-play Sims games have. But, I don't know. I just wanted – this was in soft launch for like a year, and I never downloaded the soft launch version, and I was always like eager to check this out because I'm kind of waiting for a really good Sims game. It's a series that I liked a lot back in the day and haven't really given it any love lately, and it feels like mobile is just such a perfect place for that. But I don't know. I'm not opposed to free-to-play games, but I'm also don't have the patience for a lot of them, and this is one of them where I feel like I just don't have the patience and the payoff from what I've played so far just hasn't been enough for me to feel like it's something I'm going to stick with, So I don't know. When something starts to feel like a chore right off the bat instead of like you're playing and having fun, then I feel like that's a big red flag for me.
Yeah, and I prefer to just kidnap people off the streets and put them into a house and manipulate their lives that way.
That's the way to do it, to get the real full effect.
Yeah, of course.
None of this digital stuff. But anyway, The Sims Mobile is out now, so it's free. Check it out if you like The Sims and you like free-to-play games. If you want a full-blown Sims game on your mobile, this probably isn't going to scratch that itch for you. And then I have not played this yet, but I feel like we should talk about it because it's a big deal. Today, Baldur's Gate Siege of Dragonspear launched, and this was kind of a long time coming. So just for a little bit of backstory, the original Baldur's Gate was one of BioWare's RPGs back in 1998 is when it came out. And it was beloved back in the time. It's considered a classic. And then many years later, former BioWare people who started their new studio Beamdog and gained all the rights to all the Baldur's Gate stuff, released these enhanced versions of both Baldur's Gate 1 and 2 and a couple of the other games that were used in the Infinity Engine that built those games back in the day. So Baldur's Gate 1 and 2 enhanced editions are both on mobile. They both, I believe, started out iPad only for a long time and then eventually gained iPhone support too. And pretty much they're just really good games if you like those old school sort of RPGs that they just don't really make them like that anymore. Or if you like Baldur's Gate back in the day, then these are really awesome versions to have, you know, with you at all times on the go. And so Siege of Dragonspear was kind of an interesting story because it's a brand new entry that takes place in between Baldur's Gate 1 and 2 and kind of bridges the story gaps in between the two. But it was made in 2015 and released in 2016 on desktop. And they actually used the same Infinity Engine that the original games were made in. And so I always think that's a really interesting thing. You know, you have these two games that have been out for like a couple of decades. And then someone comes along and writes all this new material and kind of sticks it in the middle of the two and uses all the original engine and stuff like that. So it's all very authentic and it all should kind of like, you know, seem like it fits into place. But I just think that's really crazy. Like if you could go back and write like a new version of a sequel to one of your favorite games from the 80s or something like that and use all the same sort of technology from back then, that's just sort of a trip to me. And I think it's very cool that they can do that. And so Siege of Dragonspear is that. It's an additional story. It's actually an expansion of the first game on desktop, but it's a standalone release on mobile. And you don't necessarily have to have played the first, but you probably should. I mean, there's a lot of story links and stuff, and then it'll lead right into two. And so, you know, if you haven't played one and two before, I'd definitely start with one, then hit Dragonspear, and then start two for the full effect. But I don't know. I think it's very neat that this finally did come to mobile, even though it took a couple of years. And it's $10, no in-app purchases or anything like that. It's just a full-blown RPG with reportedly 30-plus hours of gameplay in it. So, yeah, definitely something to check out if you're into the Baldur's Gate games or those old-school kind of RPGs like that. Siege of Dragonspear is out now.
Should be 99 cents.
Let's hope it never gets to 99 cents. And gosh, that might be all I got for us this week, gameplay wise, or, you know, game talk wise. Just hadn't had a lot of time to sit down and dig into much else of the new releases this week. And also I've been playing Evil Land, which is a holdover from last week, which is very good. So it is possible Eli had mentioned wanting to do something from his trip to Valve in some sort of podcast form. I'm not sure if that's actually going to happen or not. So you might either just hear what we've just recorded now, and this will be the show for the week, or you might have something from Eli tacked on about the Valve stuff. I'm not really sure. Either way, he's definitely going to be doing a write-up on Artifact. So look out for that. If not, you know, today before the podcast goes up, it should go up over the weekend. And then next week we are leaving for the train jam on Wednesday. And so we will train jam our way to GDC from Thursday to Saturday. And so that's going to affect the podcast next week, too. What I think we're planning on doing is just doing one early on Tuesday, which means we might not have a lot of new game talk, but we'll be able to talk about stuff, some of the games we missed in the last couple of weeks or whatever, that I know Eli had some thoughts that he wanted to talk about. So we will have an episode next week. Just not sure when or how. Maybe we'll record something on a train. Wouldn't that be cool? So anyway, thank you so much for joining us this week's episode of the Touch Arcade Show. Like I said at the beginning, everything we do is primarily supported through Patreon. So if you like what we do, please visit us at patreon.com/touch arcade and sign up to be a Patreon for as little as $1 a month, which will get you such benefits as a video version of this here podcast, as well as some other cool things. And if you don't like doing the Patreon thing, you can still help us out by doing your Amazon shopping through toucharcade.com/Amazon. It'll send you through to Amazon and you can do your shopping and we'll get a very small slice of whatever you end up buying that you're going to buy anyway. And that extra money would have just went to Amazon anyway. So might as well have it go to us, right? And if you'd like to reach us, you can email us at podcast@toucharcade.com. I actually did get an email recently. I guess maybe we'll read that next week. But it was actually, I don't know if it was an email or a iTunes review, but they said nice things and I like that. So that reminds me that we also like iTunes reviews. So if you like this podcast, please consider giving us a review on iTunes. It helps, I've heard. You're getting a lot of reviews on iTunes for your podcast. I don't know how or why or what it does, but apparently it's a good thing. So please do that if you can.
If you don't like the podcast, go leave an angry review on one of our competitors.
Yeah, you can do that too. Yeah. I don't. Eli usually writes all this stuff down. Did I get through everything? I don't even know. I'm just going to assume that I did it all right. And next week I'll find out that I did a lot of stuff wrong hosting the show. So
yeah. Well, then the worst part is you'll actually be seeing Eli next week. So you can. Oh man, you're going to be like. Are you going to like stay at his house like before?
I am. I'm going to be able to visit Hodat Manor.
Oh boy. Yeah. You better watch your back. If you found out you screwed anything up.
I know. He'll dip my wrist in a warm bowl of water while I'm sleeping or something.
Oh,
I've got it in for me, but, joke's on him. I'll be peeing on his couch. So I don't know if I do that, Eli. So anyway, that's our show for this week. Thanks again for listening, and check us out next week on another episode of the Touch Arcade Show.
Bye, everyone.